This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
When a person is involved in an accident or car accident, results in so many difficulties, personal injury, and they also have to adapt, life after an accident. In most cases, is never the same as before, physically, financially, and otherwise. And if the injuries are severe enough, they have lasting effects on work performance as well as, recreation, procreation, I suppose. Should you lose income due to your impairment, you may also face long-lasting financial ruin. But, this is exactly what we are talking about tonight. And our guest is Nkensani Ntswanisi, who, was born in Limpopo, in Tzaneen, in a township called Nkuwankuwa, and he was involved in an accident. He was in hospital, George Mukhari Academic Hospital, fighting for her life last year. And, the doctors did not have much hope because of the severity of the injuries that she suffered as a result of that particular car accident. But guess what? She managed to change her life around. And she joins us on the line, by the way. Nkensani Ntswanisi, good evening to you. How are you, ma'am?
Good evening, Thabiso, and good evening, Brasol, and all the Power FM listeners.
Yes, we'll be speaking to, we'll introduce Brasol a bit later on. So let's start with your story. I mean, what happened? I mean, I saw the picture of your car when you got involved in a car accident. Oh, horrible! Just tell us what happened on that day, please.
It was a beautiful Friday afternoon, and I was on my way to fetch my son and my little sister from school. So as I was driving, it was very hot on that particular day. So all my windows were open, I remember. Mm. So as I was driving, just before the school gate, another car came at a very, very high speed. I think it was about to overtake another car, and he did not calculate perfectly.
Mm.
So unfortunately, by the time I saw the car, decided to, move out of the way, it was a head-on collision.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
And you were in hospital for quite a while, I suppose.
Yeah, I spent 3 months in hospital. I went to, they took me to the provincial hospital here in Polokwane. I think I spent the night. I was actually unconscious, so I don't remember much what happened there, but I'm told I spent the night there. The following day, there is a doctor who saved my life, Dr. Mongwe, who came. They did not even realize that I had an aorta tear.
Oh, yeah, what is that?
It's just the main vein in the heart.
Yeah.
So it ruptured. So the time was already gone. I was unconscious. There was no time. And this man just came out of nowhere. I don't know where he came out of. And he saved my life because he said to me, we need to transfer you immediately to George Mukhari because he couldn't do the operations as Polokwane was not facilitated enough to do the operation there. So they had to quickly send me to George Mukhari.
Yeah. But it was more severe than that. Broken arm, broken hip.
Yeah, I had a broken arm. I have a broken arm, a broken hip, a broken shattered kneecap. I think they said that my kneecap was actually shattered in plus or minus 8 or 9 pieces. I also have a sciatic nerve injury that I can't even feel my right leg anymore.
Yeah. So I mean, have you recovered?
Not fully, not at all. Right now, as I'm talking to you, Thabiso, my hip, they said, is actually damaged beyond repair. So the last time I was at the hospital, they just don't know what more to do for me, whether they should replace the hip. One doctor is saying this, the other one is saying the other.
Yeah.
Then leg as well, my knee is no longer bending. There's just so much pain. The bones have not healed. The patella is actually shattered. It hasn't healed.
And you survived it all because you've managed, just tell us about the difficulty of maneuvering in terms of saying, okay, on Friday, this is where I was. For the last 3 months, this is what I've been going through in hospital. Now I'm out of hospital and this is my situation. Must be a difficult process that, isn't it?
It was difficult because remember in hospital, I could not even sit up for those 3 months that I was in there. I was not even allowed to sit up because of the hip injury. So I had to be on my back 24 hours.
Yeah.
It was agonizing. It was painful. I remember I cried most of the time.
Yeah.
But of course, we had beautiful doctors. We had amazing nurses who were taking care of me, making sure that I'm very much comfortable at most times. And I really take off my head to the staff at Ward 15 in George Mukhari.
Yeah.
Beyond the time I was discharged, I suffered from depression.
Yeah.
Because that's when now I get home. Now I need to learn how to sit up. Now I need to learn how to walk. I still can walk without aid. I use crutches now. I use the wheelchair time to time. I had to learn. I had to learn now how to walk. So the frustration started coming now because I can't do things that I was that I used to do on my own. I can't take care of my son. You know, I can't drive anymore. And that's when the depression started. So I would always try just lock up myself in my room because I felt my life was over. I cannot go on anymore. I can't do this anymore. I was angry at the world. I was angry at God. I was angry at the driver who smashed into my car. And I felt, but Lord, why do I have to be in this situation? You understand? So depression kicked in until one day I decided, you know what, enough is enough. I cannot do this anymore. And I had an overdose of my pain medication because it was just hard for me to move on now beyond my injuries, you know, because now I had to be 100% dependent on others. I'm still dependent on others. I'm not 100% dependent on myself. Life just changed in just a minute. So you can imagine it wasn't easy to cope. But yeah, beyond, you know, the suicide attempt, you know, I had the beautiful psychologist who will come and see me. She helped me. And we are here today. Yeah, I am today talking to Tabitha.
You know, God is so amazing. Saul just walks in here without crutches. You know, I'm like, hey man, what's going on here? I thought I'm seeing a ghost. I'm telling you, as I was talking to you, he walked in with some walk, and I'm thinking,
that's why I say I'm Chicken Licken's boo, you know? I walk like him. No, I only need the crutches when I do stairs. So on a flat surface, I've improved a bit.
Imran,
so I no longer need.
I am saying I was shocked.
Oh my
to see
God! I also do walking without crutches.
No, but it's good to see. You know, Saul has made so much. You know, Goka, I see when I can but moto 5-2.
All right. Yeah.
When you are so sick, but hey, money so I give 5-2 more. To see this man's remarkable. I'm not saying I was one of the people who say he's 5-2, but to see his remarkable recovery, to see his Saul, what's going on with you? Ujayim, boss.
No, I do physiotherapy.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
And I have a personal trainer. With my condition, my nerves had degenerated.
Yeah.
And there's no medication for that.
Yeah.
The only way to reactivate them is to stretch them. And I scream. So I have this.
Is it that painful?
Extremely painful. Extremely painful. But because I can't inflict pain on myself, so I brought in a personal trainer who will stretch me, and I will scream. And on weekends, I don't exercise, but I will have muscle pulls. And then as I go, then my nine-year-old daughter will say, "Daddy, uncle hit you." I'll say, "Yeah, he hit me." But it's so. In fact, what you are saying, my uncle was fully convinced that I was bewitched. He kept on coming to the rehabilitation hospital to say, "Saul, you have been bewitched."
Yeah,
there's some guy, you know, who can take care of you. And 2 months ago, I went home, and then Then he said, "Hey, you know, I've been bewitched." And I said, "What's wrong?" "No, I have a muscle pull. This pain doesn't go away."
Yeah.
Then I said, "Uncle, do you ever exercise?" He said, "No." Then I said, "Get one of your sons to stretch you." And then I advised him to take half Disprin every morning. And then after 3 days, I called him. I said, how are you?" He said, "No, I'm getting there." Then I said, "Uncle, if I believed you that I was bewitched, I'll still be on a wheelchair today."
And
he's exercising now. Yeah.
Let me tell you why I love talking to people like yourselves, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a demonstration of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
That if you take advantage of your brain in terms of the power of the brain, if you believe that I'm going to get out of this situation, it really happens.
Yeah, it's true.
In fact, I have this cartoon. It's a one-legged guy using crutches.
Yeah.
He walks past one old man who's sitting down begging for money.
Yeah.
Then he takes out money. He says to him, "The worst disability takes place in your mind."
Yeah.
Because basically saying, "Look at you. You have both legs and you are begging for money."
Yeah.
"And here I am with one and a half leg and I'm walking and I'm living my life." In fact, that kind of attitude that you talk about is the one that attracted me to Nkensani.
Yes.
On Facebook. I found her very bubbly. I looked at the pictures of her car.
Yes.
And I said, wow. By mere looking at the pictures of that car, you could have said, no, she didn't survive it.
Kevin Watson situation.
And she survived it. And she talks about it. And she even went to the airport to go and welcome Abakyokulu, And I said, wow. And from there, she said to me, "August is Women's Month. So you are going to have me as a woman to talk to disabled women to say, let's get together, let's do something for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Let's not just sit in our little corners and complain, about life."
So where was your Damascus moment, Kensani? Because you spoke about the period that you were so depressed, attempted to suicide and stuff. Where did that moment come where you said, you know what, this is what it is and we are going to get on with it?
The moment came like Russell, like you also mentioned that the power of the mind. There were times when I would have these pity parties in my room. I don't want to come out of my room. And my uncle, after an uncle, his name is Sam. And I remember one day he came to me. And I remember by then, I could not even walk on crutches. And he says to me, "I've got crutches. We're going to walk." I said, "No, Sam, I can't. Remember, I don't even feel my right leg. So standing up, my leg will be extremely heavy." So I refused to walk. And he said, "We are going to walk." He gave me the proper crutches. And we walked just a mere distance, just in the house, a distance of less than 50 meters. It was painful, excruciating painful. I remember I cried, I screamed. I asked him to just pick me up and take me back to my room, but he refused. And that taught me that I have so much strength inside of me, that you know what, Kensani, you can do this. It does not matter what you have suffered, what the doctors are saying about your condition or your situation right now. You can pick yourself up and move on. And from that time, Sam would help me to walk every single day. We'll take small walks. Until eventually, I know there's this guy, Nyuko Masange, who was doing this charity walk where, they do charity for fathers who are not in their kids' life. So he was having this 100-kilometer walk. And I said to myself, Kensani, you are going to walk 1 kilometer. And no one believed me that I'm going to do it. But I found myself doing that 1 kilometer exactly. And that moment for me was so much liberating to say, you know what, Kenson, you don't even need the wheelchair anymore. You can do this. So from that time, I started walking. I started exercising. Okay. I started doing physiotherapy. And this is where I am right now.
So, guys, I'd like to introduce someone who called in earlier who wants to speak to Brasol. Malika, you are back on the line. Brasol is now here. Good evening.
Thank you, Marumi Kotan.
Yeah.
Chovijo. Ne ke nyo go no gopela the two guests that you're having in the studio, or how can they help us as people who are blind, or the society ira accept ga mogore linga ona, and they should not like bari shame abone or usama ka wheelchair, or like if only as persons living with disability, if we can unite, I think the unemployment rate that's affecting us as blind people and all the disabilities, and then can be reduced.
Okay, okay. Mm. Malika, Ota responda and that Sol, Brasol, how do you respond? I'm sure you get this every day.
You know, I think
talking about lack of job opportunities, about how people, you know, feel pity for them, and all they want to do is to get on with life.
Yeah. Even though people may say this is only an exception that you are talking about, but. If you are blind, if you are physically disabled, there's something that you should be able to do. And through that, then people will begin to define your personality through exactly what you are doing. If I was to give you an example, Stevie Wonder, people won't say, a blind person. They'll say Stevie Wonder, the musician. Here at home, we talk about Babsi Mlangeni. We can't say Babsi, the blind person. He's known as a musician. In fact, Stevie Wonder went on to say, it does not necessarily mean that if you have eyes to see, you have a vision. Meaning, even if you are blind, you do have a vision for yourself, for your community, for the country you live in. Some time ago, I said, we need to mainstream issues that affect us through this program and other media outlets to an extent that a person can sit with me without seeing Saul as a disabled person, but seeing me for who I am or for the contribution that I am making to the development of my community. I said, Chinua Achebe, journalists will spend 2 hours interviewing Chinua Achebe. They will interview him about music. And after 2 hours, when they are on their way home, they'll remember that, by the way, Chinua Achebe is disabled.
Yes.
He's on a wheelchair.
Yes. I was so surprised when he came to this country and I interviewed him when I was working for Kai FM, and he was running in a wheelchair. I was like, yeah, can it? And I didn't know that.
So Mapule Moloto, some time ago on this program, said to people, look at your abilities, identify just one thing that you can do, and you can do it so well that it could define your personality. And people, when they look at you, they will look at you through the prism of that one activity that you perform, and you perform well. Then you'll move them away from seeing the disability in you, yeah, the physical disability that defines you.
So, when Kenzani, how do you then respond to somebody like Malika when they come to you and they say exactly what he said?
Normally, I say, you know what, people will always stare at you, whether you're on the wheelchair or not. So I always say you need to just smile at them and just move on, because people will always stare. So I also want to say that, you know what, if when you are disabled, don't, but in this Changani will say, you know, like pick yourself up, you know, if you're a lady, dress up like a queen, you know, move like a queen. You know, it does not matter how people are looking at you, because now if you want people to feel pity for you, and also at the same time, it starts within our families, because in black communities, once you are disabled, now they keep you in the house. So I'll also urge the families of us who are disabled to not to be ashamed of us, because it starts in our houses. If in our houses, no one is ashamed of us, even when you go out, they will be confident.
Sounds great. Rodney Mamelodi, good evening.
Hey, Murati.
Hey, Tara.
Brother.
Hey, my bro.
Hey, what's up, man?
Sharp with it, my bro.
I'm happy to hear you're on my channel in Navian.
Uzbu. Or Robocop.
Sure, Rodney.
Brother.
Sure, my bro.
There's two faces, Tabitho.
Yes, boss.
Brasol achieved a lot. We are the same almost age group. Brasol achieved a lot as a young person, earlier than his age group. That simply defines his mental capacity and his ability to survive and his drive to be successful. Secondly, he got into the situation that he was in. Now he has recovered, he can walk. That simply defines Brasol as somebody who's mentally stable and mentally strong. Now my question to Brasol is the same. What are you saying to those South Africans, you know, those who call Tabitha every day complaining, and none of them is giving a competing statement? What can you say to them to wake up and realize that as long as you've got a you're still physically stable, you can walk and do basic things. Apply your mind and change this nation.
Okay. Rodney is raising an important question, Brasol, because last week, Thursday, I was saying on this show, you know, how often do we think to ourselves, it could be worse. Some people could be having it far much worse than me. How often do we say, God has blessed me? Even though I may not have a double story, I may not have a G63, I may not have... be able to take my kids to private schools and so on and so forth. But it could be worse, because that's not what you do. So, you know, how do you respond there?
We need to establish organizations that will help to empower people who are less fortunate than ourselves. The reason why I'm also interested in Kensan is that he has also just launched a foundation.
Yes.
Yeah. That will support people who are less fortunate.
Yeah.
That's why I've also launched Brand Heal.
Yeah.
And basically I say I use all my networks, the networks that I built before I became disabled, to empower not only me, but also to empower ordinary people who are less fortunate than me. And in fact, the movement is growing.
That's good.
Even in Limpopo, we have DJ Bambo, who's organizing the first spring day get together for disabled people in Polokwane on the 7th of September.
That's amazing.
Because that is important, because when we are at the rehab, we are all disabled. We empower each other. We boost each other's morale.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you get into this hostile world,
yeah,
you are all by yourself and you don't have anyone to talk to. And for that reason, that's why I would say people should join even social media. There are so many groups on Facebook of people who are disabled.
Yeah.
But we also have WhatsApp group of disabled people that we met at the Tshwane Rehabilitation Hospital.
Good stuff.
Every morning, we encourage each other to say, guys, it's in the morning, let's wake up, let's go do it.
Absolutely.
For each other.
So Kenzie, I'm not going to let you go before you tell us briefly about the Golden Smile Foundation and what you do.
Yes, the Golden Smile Foundation. It came up, the name came up simply because I'm always smiling. Even in pain, you know, the doctors and the nurses will be like, are you really in pain? Because you're always smiling. So that's how I came up with the Golden Smile Foundation, just to say you need to smile through the pain. I also just want to encourage through the Golden Smile Foundation, the families of those who are disabled, because I believe I am where I am today because of my mom, Mama Beka, and my family. You know, they helped me. So I believe that, you know, their strength carried me. So if the families of everyone who is injured in car accidents can just carry them, you know, they are able to reach anywhere they want to reach. With the Golden Smile Foundation as well, I hope that one day I'm going to become the ambassador of maybe the Limpopo Department of Transport. That is my prayer, just to empower everyone in Limpopo to say, you know, it does not matter what kind of accident you went through with your scars, you know, with your disability, go out there and shine.
Those that would want to contact you who are listening to this conversation, where do they contact you, Nkensane?
They can WhatsApp me on 065. 882-9226. They can also find me on Facebook on Kensani Mahlori Ntsangwisi. Also on Twitter, my handle is Kensani Ntsangwisi. As well on Instagram is the Golden Smile Foundation.
That's all.
Yeah, we are on social media as Brain Heal Africa Foundation, but also to say that we have just welcomed two volunteers who decided that they will solicit sponsorship for us to even go on TV. So we will have the television version of this program that we have on Power FM. And thanks to Power FM, because through you, people are beginning to say, this is important, let's also have it on TV.
Good luck with that. Wow. Kenzie, thank you very much. Kenzie Ngovu.
And, appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, my chief.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for a wonderful chat.
Thank you, Kesani.
We really appreciate it. It's 10 o'clock. We should be going straight to the news with Thabo Molokwane.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.